for joining us this morning.
Hi, Jess. No, thank you for having me on the program. Delighted to be here.
Oh, I am very excited to get our teeth stuck into this topic. What are the types of negative engagement or consumer revenge that brands can experience, and what are the consequences of these?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's a very interesting area, and I think probably some context would help an understanding of this. As we all know, social media has irreversibly changed this landscape of communication. In terms of some statistics as background, every day there are 2.8 billion users on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Snapchat, Instagram, and so on, Visco as well. So it's a huge base.
Yeah.
And from a marketing perspective, social media advertising is actually pegged to be at around 60% of advertising spend, all advertising spend, by the year 2023.
Wow.
From a brand retail perspective, 90% of brands in retail, in the retail sector, are using already two or more platforms for social media. So it's this incredibly powerful vehicle for brands, but also for consumers. And I think from the consumer perspective, we just haven't seen levels of empowerment of voice before this kind of internet-enabled age. Consumers are empowered to share their opinion like never before. They're no longer these passive bystanders that simply watch brand communications or media communications. We have become these highly proactive contributors to brand narratives. We create content, we share our opinion, and all of that has this really viral effect. Now, the issue around negative engagement is that viral effect can sometimes be very positive. So when you see positive consumer reviews on something like Amazon or TripAdvisor, that has a contagion effect.
Mm.
But of course, if something goes wrong with a brand and there is some sort of brand transgression or failure, then the negative spread of information is effectively like a firestorm. It can spread very rapidly, very quickly, and to global populations. So this issue of retaliation and revenge and retribution amongst consumers who've had these negative brand experiences is kind of a dangerous effect and side effect of this online environment.
Mm,
now, you asked, so that's background.
Yeah.
You asked about types of negative engagement. So when we talk about negative engagement, it can be really innocuous. It can be something like just spreading some negative word of mouth, sharing a bad experience, brand switching, leaving the brand, withdrawing your brand relationship and loyalty. That's kind of the innocuous version. And we do that, of course, every day in our conversations with friends and family when we have bad experiences. But negative engagement can also be super extreme. It can be things like active rejection of a brand, vocal public retaliation and retribution on a brand through social commentary. All it really takes is a hashtag, some likes, some sharing, some posts, some memes, maybe even the establishment of an anti-brand domain or community website or hate speech. And that kind of negativity is super damaging, super dangerous, and incredibly viral. So when other consumers are exposed to that, whether they buy the brand or not, they start to develop negative attitudes towards the brand. That's the real danger of negative engagement in social media.
When we say danger, we're talking about the negative impact to brands. But is there an element of this where it's useful for consumers to be able to make their frustrations known? Is it you know, better that people know what they're dealing with? It keeps companies accountable.
Yeah, I think that is a big part of this story of negative engagement. So, yes, there can be kind of the trolling behaviours that damage brand equity for the sake of damaging brand equity, but negative engagement can also be triggered by consumers' perceptions of dissatisfaction or their perceptions of dishonesty or a brand being unethical or perhaps misusing information or somehow engaging in some sort of lack of justice. So from that perspective, there are cases of negative engagement which actually paradoxically have these positive outcomes for society. So this is really what we call the kind of call out and cancel culture. So where a consumer sees a injustice being done with a brand and feels that that's an important issue agenda to raise and to respond to, that can create a greater level of transparency in the social media scape and brand communications. And as you say, they can hold these brands to account for their behaviours. We saw an example of that recently with the NYX brand, of the global underwear brand. It produces a particular product line, which is leak-proof underpants. It had an ad campaign which showed a pair of underpants which were discarded in a side alley next to a pair of stilettos. It was kind of a dirty, dark, dingy-looking alley. This was put up as an ad on social media, and the backlash of consumers was almost immediate. there were these perceptions that that image itself provoked kind of connotations of sexual exploitation, sexual assault, and violence against women. Whether or not that was intended by the brand, they claim that it wasn't, of course, but the consumers perceived that to be true. And through their vocalization of that perceived injustice, that brand had to pull down its advertising and issue a public apology around its behavior, saying that that was never its intention and, you know, we didn't mean to stir that type of emotion we would never associate with sexual violence. But in that case, as you say, sometimes this negative sentiment actually has a really positive outcome. These brands are being held to account and they are asked to reflect on their actions that they're taking in social media and how that fits with consumer sentiment and society's views.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that this is having, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it's having a bigger impact as well on society in general. We're looking at advertising and the way it's impacting us, and it's starting a lot of social conversations and community conversations as well. My mind instantly goes to that Pepsi debacle with Kendall Jenner, where then we had some really interesting conversations about white privilege and about, you know, toxic conversations in that space.
Yes, that's entirely true. And these conversations are important conversations that have to occur. And, of course, this public platform that is social media enables that to occur on a global basis. We saw a similar case like that Pepsi situation recently, last year, that is, with Dolce & Gabbana, who had a fashion parade coming up. They featured an image of a Chinese model who was trying to eat pizza with a pair of chopsticks. And there were kind of associations that were drawn into that advertising imagery around negative perceptions of a Chinese culture. And again, the public held Dolce & Gabbana to account. There was a hashtag that was created at the time, which was hashtag boycott Dolce. It went viral. Brand ambassadors stood down from the brand and terminated their contracts. The Chinese actors and models boycotted the brand and walked away from it. And we still see the consequences of that kind of perceived injustice in the issue around the issues of racism a year later, where that brand is still cancelled in China. It still hasn't regained its market share in the Chinese market, which was one third of its total sales for the brand.
Gosh.
And there is a negative effect that has perpetuated around that brand in terms of these racism type associations that have now been attached to it. So I think from that sense, it's really great that we have this enabled kind of society where we can communicate openly about these issues and raise these as important issue agendas to be discussed on a public basis. You know, never before have these brands been more accountable and never before have consumers been as vocal as this.
Absolutely. What do you think brands should be focusing on with their advertising and with their campaigns in the future to prevent acts of kind of consumer revenge and these negative effects?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really important for the brands, generally speaking, to be aware of consumer sentiment. There are really clear boundaries that just can't be crossed in advertising or any type of brand communication. So understanding consumer sentiment, what seems to work for consumers, what doesn't work, ensuring that there are processes in place that check these ads and these brand communications before they're released. So, for example, undertaking market research where you test your ad campaign to make sure that resonates with your market and doesn't have a negative impact. There's this argument that this might sort of stifle creativity in advertising, but that just isn't the case. Of course, you can be creative with any content that you create, but it's about understanding what kind of creativity goes into that content and what is right and wrong in the consumer's mind. Mm-hmm. However, all brands really do need to have a strategy to deal with negative sentiments in social media. So this is, you know, kind of a crisis public communication strategy. How do we deal with these things if they get raised? What do we need to say? Who do we need to say it to? There are kind of approaches you can adopt as a brand. One of those is information strategy, so providing information that corrects inaccuracies. Obviously, you need to be careful with that as a brand, because if you start looking like you're defensive and defending your position against the public kind of sentiment and population, that can actually create a bigger firestorm than you were in to start with. We saw the use of kind of a sympathy and apology strategy, both with Dolce & Gabbana and NYX, and also the Pepsi example as well, where sometimes you can engage in providing a genuine apology, an authentic apology. You acknowledge consumer opinion, you legitimize their emotions and say, we genuinely made a mistake here. Obviously, that's commonly used and also quite effective, depending on the extremity of the negative engagement to start with. And in other cases, sometimes you see what we call a sit it out strategy. So sometimes there are examples of negative engagement which seem to pop up around a particular issue. Country Road was embroiled in one recently this year around posting some imagery of children in what was seen to be kind of a sexually suggestive pose position with a lot of makeup and undone shirts. Consumers wrote about that at the time on social media. But in that particular case, this kind of sit it out strategy was employed by the brand. Sometimes these sort of little firestorms pass over and nothing really needs to be actively done to control them. Sometimes they just blow over. So I think the strategy for brands really does depend on context and how severe that firestorm was and what the brand is looking to achieve in terms of positive consumer sentiment with its market.
It's a whole new world. My goodness gracious me. I think it is really important, though, for consumers to be able to hold brands to account. And I think that they're definitely, you know, learning to listen, which is really good.
Yeah, I think we'll see more of this as well because, you know, when we're talking about segments of the population, in the past we've had, you know, the baby boomers, Generation X. Now, of course, we're dealing with the millennials and Generation Z. So millennials are those who were born before 1995, generally, and Generation Z before 2010. And the issue with those segments in particular is that they have grown up as digital natives in this social media environment. Communication online is entirely natural for them.
Yeah.
And, you know, influencers and social media have a very important and strong influence on their buying behaviour and referral behaviour. So, yeah, so I think we'll see more of this kind of open communication occur in these social media platforms, particularly because of the changing nature of the demographics and the consumers we're dealing with.
Absolutely. It's fascinating stuff, Jana. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there, but thank you for joining us this morning.
More than welcome. Thanks for having me.